Chala Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalad 1-4. In the previous Mishnah, we had talked about certain scenarios where a foodstuff would be obligated in Chala yet exempt from Maisrus. Now we say the converse, certain scenarios where a dough could be obligated in Maisrus but exempt from Chala. So the first set of exemptions are where the dough is made of some kind of grain or legume other than from the five species. The Mishnah says, Elu chayavim b'maisras u'paturim min achala. The following list of items are obligated for trumas maisras, but they're exempt from the chala obligation. Ha'orez, rice. The consensus of poskim, that's what orez is. V'hadochan, millet. V'hapragim. Bartner learns that pragim is poppy seeds, like the modern Hebrew pereg, poppy seeds. V'shumshmen is sesame seeds. Kitnios. And the truth is, for all kinds of pulses, beans and peas, etc., if one would make dough out of them, that dough would be exempt from challah because it's not from the five species. Upachas mechameshas ravim betvua. A different kind of exemption is where you have dough that's made from flour from one of the five species, wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye, but the quantity of flour used is less than the requisite amount. We established previously already that the requisite amount is 43.2 eggs volume, something between 8 and 2/3 and 16 cups of flour, as we discussed before. And that's true here too. We're saying that if you have less than the requisite amount, it's even though it's made from flour that is from the five species, that dough is exempt from challah. Now, if you actually run the numbers, which I walked through recently, you recall we have that mnemonic Askalav Gudu, where you write out the five standard measures of volume in the Mishnah. Askalav stands for Eifa, Sa'a, Kav, Lug, and Beitza. And Gudu, if you write those letters, Gimel Vav, Dalet Vav, beneath, in between those five, you get the idea that there's three, for example, three Sa'a in one Eifa, and six kaven in one saw, etc. So if you run the numbers, you see that since there are six beitzas in one lug, and there are four lugin in one kav, so that means that there's six times four, or 24 beitza in one kav. Our mission says the amount of flour needed is 5/4 of a kav, but 5/4 of 24 is 30. That means, according to our Mishnah, it sounds like if you have even 30 eggs worth of flour, that would be obligated in taking challah. And we've already established it's 43.2 eggs. So if you're scratching your head wondering what the discrepancy is about, here it is very briefly. There were three different, what I'll loosely call, measuring cups, measuring sizes that they used in the course of Jewish halachic history. Originally, in the Midbar, in the desert, they had Midos Midbarios, the measurements from the desert, which are exact as I just laid out. Later on, when Klal Yisrael set up a Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, they increased the size of their measuring cups, meaning, let's say, for example, the Kav, by a Shtus, meaning by 20%. So the Kav, which used to hold 24 eggs, eggs didn't change in size, but now it holds 20% more than before, so you'd have to figure out 24 times 1.2 to get the number of eggs in the Yerushalmi Kav, what are called Midos Yerushalmios. And then again, after Beis Mikdash was destroyed and the Sanhedrin moved from Yerushalayim to Sipori, they again added a shtus, 20%, to the size of their standard measures. So again, the measuring cup called the Kav grew by 20%. Of course, the egg didn't change in size, and therefore you can fit another 20% more eggs inside the Kav. So if you just run the numbers to figure out how you convert from Midos Midbarios, the desert measures, to Midos Yerushalmios, you've got to multiply by 1.2. If, again, you want to convert from Midos Yerushalmios, the Jerusalem measures, to Midos Tziporios, the Tzipori measures, you have to multiply by 1.2 again. 1.2 times 1.2 is 1.44. And if you multiply what we said before, that 5/4 of a kav is equivalent to 30 eggs. If you multiply 30 times 1.44, you'll get to the 43.2 number we're looking for. So in short, for reasons that are not entirely clear to me, the Mishnah does something unusual, And although usually the Mishnah sticks to Midos Midbarios, the original system, the Askalav Guru system, I'll call it, this particular Mishnah, when it says 5/4 of a kav, it's referring to 5/4 of the Tzipori larger kav. Okay, fine. The Mishnah continues on now, and will list certain types of, I'll call them mazonos things, for lack of a better term, at the minute, that don't constitute lechem, bread proper. The pasuk says that you will, it says, v'hayak ba'achalchem melechem ha'aretz, when you eat from the bread of the land, there's an obligation for challah. The drash says, melechem, not everything counts as lechem, only some subset of, I'll call it baked grain now for a second, constitutes lechem and has the challah requirement, but other types of ways you might prepare grain doesn't constitute the kind of dough that is required to take challah from. So the translation of the next four mazonosy things, yeah, grain products, will depend a little bit on how one understands the requirements of what constitutes an obligation for challah. So there are two machloksen that I want to bring to the fore here, and then all the parties will have to understand the Mishnah based according to their shita. But this is what everyone does agree upon. Everyone agrees that conventional baked grain, when you bake it in an oven, that is the kind of product which is called bread, lechem, and that if you're going to take dough and bake it in an oven, that's required to take challah. On the other hand, if you're going to boil or fry grain, boiling in water, frying in oil, then it would be exempt from the challah requirement. We'll come back in a minute to the question of something like a bagel where you first boil it, then you bake it. That's for another Mishnah. In any case, as far as the question of what happens if instead of putting it into an oven, you cook it in a pan over a fire. So it's not in an oven, but it's using dry heat, not oil or water. So that is a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay, those are Amoraim. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that something cooked in a pan over a fire, like let's say a pancake, is obligated in challah, whereas Reish Lakish says, no, it's not, it has to be in an oven. Okay, so the halacha, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, so we will say pancakes will need to have challah taken from them, but Reish Lakish would say no. And that will be reflected here in the Mishnah according to their readings. And there's a second machlokas that is important, that's a machlokas of Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, one of the Balei Tosfos, so he understands that only thick dough preparations are obligated in challah, but thin batters that one would use to make, you know, like a crepe, or a thin batter you'd use to make even, you know, a cake perhaps, is exempt from the challah requirement. Whereas the Ramban, the Rosh, etc., do say that thin batter is subject to the challah requirement. You simply have to first bake it or pan fry it, and then once you have your bread, then you'll take your challah from it after it came out the oven, etc. Okay, so because of those machloksin, those parties will read the reason why these four are exempt differently. They'll say the Metzias is different. I will just simply, I'll give you the Bartonura's translations here for what they're worth, and then you at least have something. So we have four types of grain products which are going to be exempt from challah because they don't constitute bread. What they are, again, will be subject to the machloks that I just described. But here's the Bartonura's translations. First is hasufganin. So sufganin sounds like the modern-day Hebrew sufganiyot. Indeed, the Bartonura's pshat, his first pshat is that it's bread that starts out as a batter, and when it bakes, it becomes like spongy, like a sponge cake. The word sfog is a sponge. And he gives a second pshat that it's very thin wafers. Okay? Then duvshanin, from the word devash, honey. So he gives two pshatim again, the Bartonura does. Either they're food that's like bread that's fried in honey, or alternatively says it's just flour that's kneaded with honey. The third is vahaes kirtin, which he says is also some kind of very thin batter. Maybe it makes crepes or something like that, a thin batter. And finally, v'chalas hamisres, which is a bread that's scalded with water, over the fire, like over the in the pan, and you use hot water to do it. So those things are all exempt. And again, there are different pshatim what those things are, depending on which of the shitas you're following in terms of those cloaks, and I said a minute ago. And period. And now the Mishnah has one more example, which is hameduma. This is something entirely different. Meduma, you'll recall from Maseches Trumos, is a mixture of truma and chulin. So while normally if you have a mixture of Isser and Heter, you need rov, a simple majority. In the case of truma, the rabbis upped it to require you to need, loosely speaking now, 100 times of chulin to one part of truma in order to make that mixture permissible to a non-Kohen. If you have less than that, then only a Kohen could eat the mixture. So our Mishnah here is saying that if you have a dough and the dough has a status of meduma, since it's already like, I'll call it now, quasi-truma, the pasuk which says tarimu truma, you'll lift up the truma from this non-truma dough, doesn't apply because this already is quasi-truma dough, and therefore it's exempt from the challah requirement. Meduma dough, exempt from the challah requirement. Now, worth pointing out, of course, worth pointing out that we're talking about a case where the dough was always meduma, meaning the flour was always meduma. If you first had dough, which was chulin, and you mix it with, water mixed with flour that was chulin, and you have dough that's regular dough, the challah obligation kicked in. If later on some other truma dough or challah dough falls in and mixes all together with it, since the chiyuv of challah was already there, it doesn't disappear. Okay, so the Mishnah ends by saying, all those items on the list we just enumerated are patur and minachala, they are exempt from challah.